The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Well, it's not like much has happened since last we were together. And it's rivalry week for your Houston teams. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Zhong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Hope you got outside yesterday because that might have been the best day we're going to have all year.
It was cold in the morning.
Yeah, it was.
And then it got good.
Yeah, so you just didn't want to go out in the morning.
We were on the baseball field at 9 a.m., and it was a little chilly. By the time the first game ended, though, it was good.
Well, Saturday was so muggy and windy, and when I got up Sunday to take the dog out, I just had on a T-shirt, and I'm like, whoa, where did this come from? Not cool.
Yeah.
But it turned into a beautiful day and a great weekend. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that is happening. What's going on with you, Freddie?
The same.
Good.
So you guys had baseball all weekend? That was pretty
baseball
much
weekend, yeah. And then Saturday was kind of a lazy day because my kid had their, like the way they do these tournaments every week is you play your games for seeding on Friday or Saturday.
Right.
And we usually always play on Saturday, but there was so many teams in the tournament this weekend that we played on Friday. And then on Sunday, once everybody's got their seeding, that's when the actual tournament happens. So I had to haul ass from Saloon Door up to catch their second game for seeding on Friday night, and then we played all day Sunday. But Saturday was kind of a lazy day. It was me sitting on the couch watching the draft, and then today's my kid's fifth birthday. So
happy birthday!
We had his birthday party on Friday or on Saturday. I mean,
right.
So while we were sitting around being lazy, we stopped doing that at about 4 o'clock and had a bunch of kids at my house, which, you know, nothing to crank up the draft experience like having a bunch of kids at your house.
Yeah, yeah. That's
although by that time, it's like round 6 and 7, and you don't really care.
You're only paying attention to certain picks at that point. It's like, oh, that guy went too late, or who did the Texans get? That kind of stuff. Yeah, I had a pretty quiet weekend. Just I did something that tactically may have been an error because
shower sex?
No. Nothing sexual.
At your age, good Lord.
You know, I've been riding my bicycle all over the place and really enjoying it, and the wife hasn't wanted to do it because she had an old crappy bike. So Saturday we went and bought her a new high-performance, really fast bike.
Oh, boy.
And so Saturday and Sunday we put about 40 miles on those things going all over the place, so it was a lot of fun.
You should have rode in the MS-150. You should have just jumped in and started riding along.
Yeah, well, maybe next year.
Okay.
But and had a few beers and just sort of kept up with the draft and, you know, nice and quiet because this week's going to be very, very busy because it's Derby week, so I got a ton of stuff to do for that, and we're going to Vegas, so I kind of wanted to have a nice, relaxing weekend before all that and then dive into the sports.
And there it comes.
Yeah, and it's going to be a fun week. Cannot wait. Pretty excited about the Derby. I will have I'm going to write something tomorrow just kind of laying out everything that's coming this week. Going to do more than ever on it this year. So, and we won't be doing a lot on air because I'll be doing a podcast, and that'll give you everything you could possibly want about the Derby. So I know people are interested. This is the one thing they're interested in, but they don't want to be overwhelmed with it. So the podcast will overwhelm you.
Yes.
For those of you who want all the good stuff. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Well, where do you want to start? We got the Astros playing their personal daddies this week. We've got the Rocket Spurs. We've still got lots of draft stuff. So,
I feel like we have the option here of looking forward or looking to the past. Zhong, you're the producer of this show. What do you think the right way to start the show is? Is it by previewing tonight's Rockets-Spurs series? Is it reviewing the NFL draft. You tell us, John. You're the boss today.
I think reviewing the draft for a little bit and then moving forward.
Okay.
Since it happened over the weekend.
Should we take calls about Texans draft picks?
I mean, you could, but I don't know how much.
You don't sound very excited about that.
No, not really.
Okay.
So we won't take calls about it. We'll just give our thoughts on it. Why don't we let John give his thoughts on it first, since he made the decision?
Okay.
I kind of like that idea.
I mean, I didn't really watch the third day of the draft.
You don't have to watch the third day or the second day. You just have to pay attention to who goes where.
No, I think they did. They did well. I like the Dante Foreman pick worthy. I can't believe he lasted until the third round?
Yeah.
I can't believe he lasted that long. Trading up for Deshaun Watson, I like that pick. You're essentially just giving up next year's first round pick, and if you think you're going to be good enough to where you're not picking very high, then I think it's worth it. And I think I would have liked them to have taken an offensive lineman sooner, but it's one of those where the class itself is weak. So, I mean, that's going to be a problem coming into the season.
I don't think that they got – and they eventually drafted some offensive line. I don't think they got anyone who's a starter on the offensive line.
No, I agree, but I'm glad they didn't reach to draft somebody where they took the best players that were available and guys who will help them. And I like Dante Foreman a lot. And I liked him probably third best in this draft, fourth at the worst. My only concern with him is the same concern I have with your beloved Joe Mixon. He was running against defenses that couldn't tackle me. And he's got to work on his blocking, but you give me a guy who's big enough and I can teach him to block.
He is the worst blocker I've ever seen for that size, and he is a zero in the passing game. Like, as far catching the ball out of the backfield, none.
But they've got guys who can do that. And that's why
he's a specialized back.
And he can run between the tackles, and he gets a lot of yards inside, which they don't have that guy.
Yeah.
This is a nice
compliment.
They've
been trying to pretend like Alfred Blue is that guy for a long time.
And this is a much better Alfred Blue. And they've got guys who can catch the ball out of the backfield. So I love that pick. And I liked a lot of the late round guys because the Watkins kid from Clemson, I think, is going to be in the rotation on the defensive line. They usually do very well they do very well with late round defensive linemen.
Nope.
So I like that pick.
I like Zach Cunningham. I think Zach Cunningham is going to be the long term replacement for Brian Cushing. I think this is the last year of Brian Cushing, and they're going to look at Zach Cunningham to sort of fill that role beyond this next season. So I thought that was a smart pick, even though everyone expected them on, with the second draft pick, or really on day two, everyone said secondary and offensive line has to happen, and then neither one of them happened.
Right.
But I didn't mind the pick. I think that he's a useful player. He's a guy who that seemed about where he should go. So I don't think they reached by any stretch. So I was happy with that pick. I think they made some solid picks on the second day. Again, my concerns about Dante Foreman are less about his ability to run the football, because I think when it comes to that, he's damn near as good as anyone. He's got to keep his weight under control, and they are going to have to teach him how to be he's going to have to learn how to – he'll never be on the field on third down if he can't figure some things out. I mean, he's
and I don't want him on field at third down.
He's a liability,
but I think
at this point.
But I think he can learn. It's not like Charlie Strong's coaching staff was going to coach him up. So, and it's not like they asked him to do that much.
Yeah.
So I think he can learn. But more importantly, I like that they've got a guy that you can put out there in short yardage, who can turn a 2 yard gain into a 15 yard gain, and I think that's what he can do. And it gives them some depth at that position, and you can take a little pressure off Lamar Miller, who, by the way, is a really good third down back.
Yep.
And some of the other guys they have behind him, I think, can do that job as well. So I think that's a good fit. As far as the Cunningham pick, everybody's, they didn't need an inside linebacker. Well,
they will
need one. And the other part about that is you can use Bernardrick McKinney outside in pass rushing situations. So I like the flexibility.
Inside
there.
Linebacker was something. Well, I mean, it wasn't a priority, obviously, but it's something that I think is useful for this team, especially going forward past this season. Brian Cushing's here for now. Well, maybe. He plays a healthy season about one out of every three. Maybe he'll be here this next season. But
yeah,
I think beyond that, he's not even going to be on the roster.
Yeah, I assume he's here for one more year. And then after that, you probably cut ties with him. You probably cut ties with Joseph. And You know the kid they drafted out of Oregon State, I think, is a project.
He's a body, though. I like his build.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a guy who I would expect to be on the field a lot the first year.
Maybe special teams.
Yeah, he's going to have to do some work to get out on the field, but I don't mind the pick. And I'm not their last pick, Kyle Fuller. I'm not crazy about him. You know, even as a I don't know if he's going to be useful at all. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't make the team.
My hope is that he could be a backup center. And if he can, then you've got three of those now, and you have more flexibility to move a guy like Mance or Martin to guard, which is a hole. I think the right tackle problem is still there. It's still glaring. I don't think that this guy's going to be ready to step in anytime soon. And that's okay.
Julian Davenport.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I think that.
I just call him Julie because, you know, I don't know what he's doing with that end.
Because he's got I think he's a project guy, too, and maybe this time next year they can use him as sort of a swing tackle or a fill-in here and there. But I don't think they have many plans to have him on the field much unless it's out of full necessity.
Right.
Which goes back to, like, they got two guys on that offensive line that I don't know if they're ready to play in the NFL. And they didn't add anything in free agency at that spot. So that's the pressure's on there. No safety taken in this draft.
Right, although I think the kid from Oregon State might actually be able to play safety. That's what I like about him. There's some versatility there. I don't know if he's fast enough to play corner.
But he's also a guy you don't know if he's going to be NFL ready this year.
Right.
So I think you got four guys who could contribute this year. I don't know if they want Deshaun Watson on the field this year.
I think they want him on the field, but not week one.
Okay.
I think a lot depends on just how fast he progresses and how bad Tom Savage is. But I think by week eight, I think he could be ready. And that's what you kind of hope.
Cunningham and Foreman will definitely be in the rotation, I would say, by week one. And I think that the Carlos Watkins, the defensive tackle, will be in rotation week one. So I think you got a few guys that they're going to have on the field early. And then they've got a lot of projects.
Yeah, I'm less worried about safety than I am offensive line because they have had some guys that they've been developing who should be ready to take a step this year. And it's a gamble with guys like that, but they've done pretty well in the past with them. So I'm not as concerned about that, but the whole right tackle situation is just a mess. And I think they have to address that as guys get cut. A lot of these teams wind up drafting players, and they'll be able to get rid of other ones. And I think that's where you've got to go in and swoop in and find a functional right tackle somewhere when he gets cut. Or you make a trade for, you know, a late round pick for somebody who was going to get cut or who got kind of caught in the numbers, because there will be teams in that situation. And I think that's, you know, if they do that, I'll feel a little bit better about it. But that's the one part that I'm still very concerned about is that, because I this kid obviously has some potential, but he's not going to help you next year.
But here's the question.
And if he's on the field next year, you're in trouble.
Do you think some team is just going to cut a starting caliber right tackle?
It happens every year. It's not going to be a guy who's great. You know, it's not going to be a guy who says, oh, this guy's awesome.
It's going to be a Chris Clark.
Maybe a little better than Chris Clark. You got to find somebody who's a fit. You don't need a stud there. You just need somebody who doesn't suck.
Yeah.
And
the other problem with this is they don't pick until the third round next year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be difficult to address that spot once again.
Well, I do think going into next year they're going to have a lot more cap room. They're also going to have some new holes because and I think you will be able to do some stuff in free agency, which they didn't do this year. But you'll also have to replace Jonathan Joseph most likely. Mm-hmm. And, Cushing you probably already have.
Right.
But
they feel like they replaced him already.
Yeah. Yeah, theoretically.
All right. Let's go to my man Aubrey Theodi, who's on the line with Dirt Free Carpet. Aubrey, how are you? How was your weekend, good sir?
Hey, guys. It's really great. I mean, every weekend's a good weekend. You know, the weather's been beautiful and spring is in the air. Spring is ready for the interior quality of your home. When you think about the honeydew days and moms, you want to eliminate those days to cut them down, and dads, you don't want them at all. Pick up the phone, dial 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-DIRT-FRE with one E. We'll come out to your home with $100,000. That's some dime store rental thing. You know, something that kicks the breakers and breaks your back. Something that was invented for your home by the most superior, you know, individually owned carpet cleaning company in the world. I mean, we created the technology that uses the truck engine to power the system. It has no soap residue. We have a wand that glides across the carpet and resets the nap with a vortexing glider on it. I mean, there's things we do nobody in the world does. Check us out, 281-DIRT-FREE, dirtfreecarpet.com. Dirtfreecarpet.com, friends, is looked up more than carpet cleaning in Houston. Dirt-free carpet cleaning is punched in more than carpet cleaning Houston. So check out what all the fuss is about. Dirtfreecarpet.com, 281-DIRT-FREE. A three room's $100. Just do $100. And if you had, say, carpet, tile, leather, grout, drapes, upholstery, if you had another service, we'll give you a free room and a free speed dry if you purchased an air duct cleaning. So you get a free room of carpet cleaning with the other purchases and three rooms of carpet cleaning for just $100 if you need it. Just carpet cleaning done. So 281 Dirt Free. You've seen it, guys. You know it works.
Yes, sir. All right. That's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Give him a call. Appreciate you, Aubrey. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
Thanks.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So, off the top of your head, whose drafts did you really like?
Probably Tennessee the most.
Yeah, I liked what they did. I think that's
There's a lot of people who tried to, you know, say they reached on Corey Davis. I don't believe they did.
I'm with you on that. I love that guy.
And then getting Tay Taylor from Western Kentucky in the third. They added two, I think, impactful receivers. They got the tight end from FIU. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But he'll be a starter for them off the bat, and they got Jaylen Brown, who I think is a pretty solid linebacker. I thought that they ended up with a really solid haul. And I talked about this, you know, earlier last week, that when you don't have to worry about drafting your starting tackles and a quarterback, and you still have a ton of draft picks, it gives you so many options.
As long as you do it right, which I think they did. It's funny because I thought the Browns did a lot right early and a lot wrong late with some of their later picks. But when you have that many, you can make some mistakes. I like what the Ravens did. I think getting Tyus Bowser, who's just a great fit for that Ravens defense, and Marlon Humphrey in the first round. And I thought they did just a good job of adding some depth on that side of the ball. Still a little shaky on offense, but I like what they did.
Yeah, that's going to be their biggest issue. And it's I was kind of surprised that they went so heavy on defense, because that was a team that I would have expected to be offense. But we talked about this, the 49ers, you know, they seem to be building for the future. And I think they did a lot of things right. C.J. Beathard in the third round,
a
bit confusing to me, because I look at him as sort of I thought he was sort of like Nathan Peterman without the upside.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And he went before Nathan Peterman.
But obviously Kyle Shanahan saw something he liked.
And who am I to tell Kyle Shanahan about quarterbacks? What do I know? But I like what they did, and they didn't. And, you know, a third-round pick on that guy, if they draft Sam Darnold next year, they can throw him away, and it's not a big deal.
Or he can be a backup. I mean, that's usually what a third-round quarterback is.
And I think that now we're set up where I guess this is something we talked about a lot last week, too. The teams that are going to be in the hunt for those top quarterbacks next season, I think Cleveland is still going to be there. I think San Francisco is going to be in that mix. I think Jacksonville is going to be in that mix. the Jets.
What were the Jets doing?
I don't know. The Jets are horrible.
That was just...
Although Jamal, listen, I like Jamal.
I like him too, but then you come back with another safety in the second round?
Yeah, that's surprising to me.
I like what the Cowboys did. I think they added some guys who can help that defense at some areas where they need help. Yeah, they drafted three cornerbacks and a safety, and Taco Charlton, we talked about on Friday, was a good pickup. So I like what they did. I think they got some
players.
Although
they needed a replacement for Doug Free, and they still haven't got one.
Yeah, but I think they're good enough there where you can fill one of those holes. I like that Denver was able to get Jake Butt in the fifth round. I think that's a guy who can be a weapon for you.
When he gets healthy.
Yeah, yeah. That's the big question.
Because he would have been probably a second rounder otherwise.
Right, and I think that's good value because you're getting him off the injury. And I like what the Colts did in the first three rounds.
Yeah,
I think they got three guys who will help that defense immediately. And frankly, I think the whole AFC South did a pretty good job. So the teams that I was baffled by were obviously the Bears. I had no clue what the Bears were doing.
That was very strange.
And the Jets. I just, they go safety, wide receiver. It's like they were just, it's like late in a fantasy draft when you're trying to fill certain positions, but they did it with their first four picks. It just made very little sense. And I also like what the Saints did. I think they got...
Another team that I thought did well.
Yeah, and then getting Alvin Kamara where they did gives them yet another running back and a different one from what they've got, which is kind of why I like the Foreman pick so much for the Texans. He's different than what they have. So overall, those are the teams that stood out to me.
I thought the Bills did pretty well.
And then fired everybody.
And then fired everybody after, which is so strange to me. And
didn't give a reason for it either.
Well, the reason's pretty clear. He's done nothing. Yeah. And I know you'll feel differently about this than I do, but I thought the Bengals had some good draft picks. I think there was value in Joe Mixon where he went.
But from what I understand, they could have waited two more rounds and nobody would have taken
him. Maybe they could have.
They were one of the few teams that had him on their board. So
they got Jordan Willis in the third round.
That I like a lot.
Which I wouldn't have laughed if someone took him late first round.
I'm with you. That guy, I was surprised to see still sitting there at 73.
They got John Ross in round one, which if John Ross is healthy, that gives the perfect guy to stand opposite A.J. Green.
Absolutely.
And then they got Carl Lawson in the fourth round.
It's another guy I like a lot.
Good value.
Yeah.
And they got the kid from Houston, Brandon Wilson
yeah.
in the sixth round. And so I thought they did pretty well.
And I like, you'll laugh at this, but I actually like the center they took from Utah. That's another guy that I think could be in the rotation at some point. So I think I agree with you on that. I think
they did draft a kicker.
Yeah, but they also had the second day, or was it the third day, that they had nine picks left.
Maybe it was.
Yeah.
I think it was third day.
Yeah, it was third day. They had nine picks. So I guess with nine picks, you can afford to get a kicker.
Yeah.
And I think... From a Browns perspective, I think taking Kaiser in the second round makes some sense because it's the second round.
He's still disposable. If things fall the right way next year.
Which they probably will. This team's not going to be that much better.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. That was fast. We got a lot more to get to, man. We'll talk a little. We got Astros. We got Rockets. We got all kinds of cool stuff coming up. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Happy Monday. Beautiful day outside. Hope everybody's having a great one. And somebody asked earlier about Lael Collins. Didn't he play tackle at LSU? And you could move him, but I think the way this team is situated, you want to keep him at guard. They think Chaz Green can play right tackle for him. You're not going to have You can't have a stud at every position. It's just, but if you got four studs in there, you're okay on your offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah. The way the Cowboys run, left guard's as important, if not more so, than right tackle. So they like having that Tyron Smith, Leo Collins into Travis Frederick. They like
that. Yeah. That's, but you could run behind that all day.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to have. But yeah, back to the Texans. I think there's some names out there that they'll at least bring into camp for a look. And, I hope they're not counting on Derek Newton. I mean, from what I understand, it may not be until 2018 before we see him again, if then. But we shall see. That's the only thing that I look at and say, boy, that's a gaping hole on this team, is that right tackle position. And maybe, I'd feel better if I thought there was an internal solution to it. And I just don't see it from the guys that are on the roster. Unless you can get Dwayne Brown to play all five positions.
Yeah. Doesn't work out that way.
No, but I do think there's a possibility to upgrade the interior, because I do think Martin's going to be a player. And Mance was a better than functional center last year who should improve. So if you can find some way to where you can work both those two guys on the field, you've improved the middle of your line. And you just have to have somebody who doesn't get run over like a little girl, like Chris Clark did most of last year. Texas Tiger said, I know this sounds like bias, but the Packers getting Dupree in the seventh, he was so wasted at LSU. I saw that guy projected anywhere from as high as the second round. It's just a guy who did not get used at LSU but has a ton of talent.
Yep.
That would be a very smart Packer-type pick if he winds up working out.
Who's the guy who – did anybody go significantly later than you thought they would go?
Significantly? I mean, there were guys who dropped a round or two, but I don't know of too many guys that I kind of thought maybe Chad Kelly goes before Mr. Irrelevant, but I thought fifth round, so.
I'm thinking Brad Kaya.
Yeah.
Like, almost the very end of the sixth round. Where there was, I mean, people were talking about him as a second rounder, maybe.
Yeah.
So,
It's interesting.
Tough wait.
It's interesting the quarterbacks that jumped him.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of them. Yep. And I was never that high on him to begin with, but to me he was. But we got a guy like Beathard going ahead of him,
three rounds ahead of him.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people saw that.
So. I don't know if his stock just dropped and no one told the draft experts about it, but yeah, he took a tumble.
And this is as they sign a lot of these new guys, you'll see some veterans cut. And that's where I would keep my eye out if I'm the Texans. It's just there's going to be some veteran offensive lineman who can come in and at least not suck.
Yeah.
Christian Michael released, according to Adam Schefter.
For like the 83rd time in his career.
And how about this? The Jaguars have picked up the fifth-year option on Blake Bortles.
Oh, boy.
Which Tom Coughlin calls a smart business decision. No-brainer. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, at this point, what's the alternative?
The alternative is...
Because they didn't draft anybody.
No, you let him play it out next year, and then if you don't sign him and he has a big year, now you're going to be kind of stuck. If you do sign it, take that. I mean, it's one extra year, right?
I mean, obviously, they're hoping he works out.
And if he doesn't, you'll have options in next year's draft. You'll be one of those teams that'll be high up there. So, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Nick said, I'm surprised Jake Butt lasted until the fifth round, but he got hurt in the bowl game. And the part of that is it kind of started that whole debate again about whether these guys should play in the bowl games. Because the guys who all sat out, McCaffrey and Fournette and those guys, they all got drafted.
Yep.
And drafted
high.
Yeah. And, Jake Butt gets hurt. I think he'll be fine, and I think that'll be a really good value pick for them.
I think you're going to see more of – I mean, Corey Davis didn't work out once.
Yeah.
Didn't work out once in the pre-draft stuff. I mean, he was hurt. He just said, listen, man, look at my game film.
Yeah.
If you want to see what I'm about, look at my game film. And
his game film will tell you a lot.
Yeah.
And that guy was badass.
Number five overall.
Yeah.
I think you're going to start seeing more and more that, combines and pro days and bowl games, they're not that necessary. At least,
Bowl games we know aren't necessary. Unless you're playing for a championship. If you're playing in the playoffs, then your ass needs to be out there and playing at a high level because you can raise your stock doing that. Bowl games, I mean, they're exhibitions. And guys get hurt. A lot of people ask about what about the Vikings not picking up Bridgewater's option. I can't blame them for that.
Well, here's the deal on Bridgewater. If Bridgewater ends up on the PUP list this year for the entire year, which is entirely possible, yeah, then next year would be the option year for him. So they'll get him at like a what they call a told rate, which means he'll come back and they've got a chance to keep him for what he would have made this year. So it's a business decision by the Vikings. Yeah. They're not cutting him. He's still there.
Right.
And if he's gonna be able to play again, they'll be able to give him a chance to earn his job. But I think from everything I've heard that he's probably never gonna be the player that he could have been.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of a bummer, but that's football.
Yeah, and it's a shame, but I mean, same thing with Derek Newton blowing both knees. It's like, what do you do?
Or Quisenberry, you know, like
who is actually going to be back in camp this year, but he hasn't played football in
make the
what,
team.
4 years.
Yeah. I think that's like a hey, bud. Yeah. Thanks for slap on the shoulder. Hey, man. Yeah, I know you've been through a lot, but that's what. No one's talking about him as a potential fix on the offensive line.
No. I hope they're not, because not just that he's coming off that, but also the fact that he hasn't played since his rookie year, and we didn't know what he was going to be then. He was, what, a fourth-round pick?
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN. Let's squeeze in a quick call here. David. What's up, David?
Sports.
Sports to
sports,
you, sir.
Guys.
Sports again.
I want your take on a pick 101, round three out of Lamar. What do y'all think about that?
Brandon Langley. I mean, I think, first of all, I think it's cool that Lamar kids are getting drafted now.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. And I honestly think that if you're going to go to Denver to be a cornerback, that's probably about best case scenario, because you're going to be able to learn from some guys who are pretty good at that.
Right, and there's not going to be a lot of pressure on you to make the lineup at any point. And as a third round pick, they're probably thinking eventual nickel guy.
Yeah,
but.
Or work him in,
But the Broncos, I think, do some. They have done some very smart things over the last few years, which is why they won a Super Bowl. It's why they, even last year when things didn't go all that well at the quarterback position, they still had a winning record and were in the hunt. I mean, I think they draft well. I think they make good signings. They make good decisions in terms of who they keep and who they don't. So he's going into a good situation, and I like what they did with, I think Garrett Bowles, while not my favorite tackle in the draft, that is a guy that helps that offensive line, which is a real wreck. I think Walker can play. I like the kid from Louisiana Tech that they drafted. I think that's another guy who doesn't have to jump right in because they're loaded at wide receiver. And I already mentioned that getting Butt where they did, I believe, is going to be a steal.
And Chad Kelly. If Chad Kelly can play.
Yeah.
I mean, and Chad Kelly, physical upside, if you take away off the field and injury risks,
right,
which those are both real, obviously. If you take that away, that guy's he's a second round pick.
I'm a little less worried about the off the field stuff because there's been some time in between those, and I'm not worried.
I think he's like Manziel, though. He's just kind of an idiot.
Yeah, I think so too. There's no better place to be if you're an idiot than John Elway looking over your shoulder, though. And I think that'll be a good fit for him. We shall see. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. When we come back, I have a very special giveaway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And are we going to talk some NBA, some association?
Yeah, we should. There's a lot to get to. The first round finally came to an end.
Finally.
After 2 months.
And tonight, we will see a team that we haven't seen in 8 days. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's been.
Okay. Well, it's
been a while.
I'll do some math during the break.
I think it's six days, actually. But,
okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Guys, if your home has aluminum or wooden windows with regular glass, you need to check out the energy-efficient replacement windows from Window World. They are double-hung, double-pane, And they are made with premium quality, American-made premium quality, with a transferable lifetime warranty that includes glass breakage. So if you sell your home, the warranty goes with it, ups your value. That glass breakage, so if you've got a knucklehead kid who shoots a rock through the glass with a lawnmower, they're going to come out and fix that for free. Installation usually takes just one day for the average home. Financing is available. Call Window World today for a free estimate. No high pressure, no pushy sales, just a free estimate. You got nothing to lose. 713-439-1172 or check them out online at windowworldhouston.com. It's Window World, simply the best for less.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device. The all-new ESPN975.com. All right, we've got a couple of cool giveaways this week, and we're going to start with one now because we're going to be giving away four tickets every day to Saturday's concert at the Scout Bar. It's a double CD release party with my good friends at 12 Years Driven and Broken Valor. If you haven't seen them, they're fantastic, too. Those are two of my favorite local bands. Saturday, May 6th, it's an all-ages show, 7 o'clock. All you have to do is be caller number 20. It's 713-780-3776, and you are going to the concert Saturday night. That simple. So they love the Blitzers and want to take care of you guys, so going to be giving tickets away to that all week.
You don't get to go.
No, because I'll be a little bit busy Saturday.
Yep.
Saturday's Derby Day, which I also have some giveaways for Derby Day that we're going to do during the course of the week. And usually we just say, okay, whatever, caller. I'm going to do it a little bit differently this week because I want people who are horse racing fans, because these are very hard to get tickets. And we're going to have the ESPN Zone for Derby Day on Saturday. It's going to be very limited. So I'm going to do it through Twitter. I'll let you know how. But it's going to be people who I know love horse racing and who are out there and who've won tickets before and know what they're doing. So I'm going to make it a little more difficult on you guys because I want this to be cool people. Not just, hey, I won. Maybe I'll go. Maybe I won't. We're not having those. So, all right, want to talk a little basketball?
Let's talk a little basketball, Freddie.
All righty.
The first round. When did the first round start? Can we do that math first? Well,
wasn't it like 2.5 weeks ago?
It seems like it's been forever.
All I know is that they're well into round two of the NHL playoffs, which started at the same time.
Yeah, and
Rockets game one, April 16th.
But were they the first team to play?
I don't remember.
No.
I think they played the second day.
Yeah, they played the second day.
So, yeah, you're right. Saturday was the first game.
So April 15th, it took them over 2 weeks to finish the first round of the NBA playoffs.
And didn't they wrap? They wrapped it up last Tuesday, so it's been 6 days since they played, correct?
It's been 6 days for them. The team I was talking about that last played on April 23rd. What day of the week was April 23rd, John?
That
quick math there.
I'm trying to look at this. Look, April Sunday.
That was last Sunday. So it's been. Let me do the math here. Sunday.
Well, the Rockets' last game was Tuesday.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sunday to Saturday would be 7 days, right? And then one more Sunday, and then Monday. So we're talking about. This is the ninth day since the Cleveland Cavaliers played.
Yeah, that was. And
I mean, is that insane?
And I finally just lost track of the Celtics first round series because that thing was so spread out.
I mean,
and the next thing I know, I look up and they're on to round two. Good luck.
It's so ridiculous. It took them 9 days to play four games. The Cavs, 9 days, four game. The NBA's got to figure this out. You cannot, and the Cavs and the Warriors are in the same boat. The Cavs and Warriors are the two teams with the most national appeal. Wouldn't you agree? As the teams that are in the playoffs.
The Celtics still have a pretty big reach, but for the most part, I'd say those
but
two.
As far as, like, superstar players and things like
that,
those are the teams that are going to draw the biggest ratings. We haven't seen either of them for over a week. Is that, like, is that the NBA's master plan? Hey, we've got these two, we've got this team that everyone thinks is the greatest, and hopefully eventually they're going to play this player that everyone thinks is the greatest. Just like last year, they're set for a collision course, but you're not going to see either one of them for 8 or 9 days.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, to me, it takes...
Have some sense.
Well, it takes a lot of interest out of it for me.
It does.
Now, I watched game one of the Celtics yesterday because I was at a bar and happened to be on TV the same time as the Astros were. But I've kind of lost track of a lot of those series because it's like, 3-day break, woo. You know, and then it should be really simple, man. Just every other day, an extra day for travel, and there you go. It's done.
Yeah.
But that's not the way the NBA does it, and I don't know how it affects ratings, but obviously you want more Cavs games and you want more Warriors games.
Yeah, well, if they're simple.
But if they're sweeping people, there's not much you can do about it either.
No, you know what you can do, though? Shorten those other series down so we don't have to wait 8 days to see them play again.
Yeah. And 8-2, so that's why the NBA needs to go back to 5 games in the first round. Well, but they're not going to do it because it's extra money. And if a team accidentally beats, like San Antonio, for instance, Grizzlies beat them a couple games. Well, you get 6 games out of it instead of what would have been 5. And that's more money. It's more gate. And it's more content for TV.
Yep.
So, and I also think that these long gaps, while it helps teams get healthy, it's also very much that's the whole rust versus rest thing. A lot of teams, it takes them a while to get back to playing at that level after that long of a break. So from a competitive standpoint, it's not that great either.
Jeremy says, what does the NBA do? Have them intentionally lose games? No. Stop taking 2 days off between every game in every series. That way, if one team sweeps, you're looking at maybe 5 days before they play again. And not 8 or 9. That's crazy.
Well, didn't the Raptors, didn't they finish theirs in 6? They played 2 more games?
Yeah.
Okay, so why is it this long?
I don't know. Why couldn't they have started this sooner? But they want to finish every first-round series before they start a second-round series, I guess, which I don't even care. If two teams are ready to start their series, get it started.
Yeah. That's why I asked, why didn't they have Cavs in Toronto play yesterday instead of Celtics in Washington, especially considering they had more time off? Well, yeah, and isn't Sunday
a day that you'd love to have a prime game on?
Because there wasn't much to watch yesterday in the sports world. The Astros, obviously, Keuchel was pitching, so that was kind of fun. And then, there was that Celtics game. And that would have been nice. 713-780-ESPN's your number. But you got your Rockets tonight. We'll start breaking that down. I think you're probably going to make a lot of people mad. I'm guessing.
I'm going to make everyone mad, but I mean...
I want to be encouraged. I do. I think the Rockets can play better than they did in the first round. They're going to have to. I kind of feel like this series might go like the last series did with the Rockets playing the role of the Thunder, where they get out the big leads and the Spurs hunt them down in the second half, because that's kind of how the regular season went. But we'll see, man. I want to be encouraged. I really do, but
it could be much like the way the Rockets Thunder series was. I think it could be a close series for a 4-1 series. So there'll be some close games, but I think the Spurs win in 5-6 tops.
I think it goes 6.
Okay.
I think it goes 6. I think the Rockets will get hot.
If the Rockets lose their first home game, will that change your mind?
No, because I think they're gonna steal one of these first two.
Ooh, okay.
And I think if they're going to win, it's probably going to be tonight. If they come out and they're able to make some shots, we'll see. 713-780-ESPN.
832 says, I love your show, but I disagree on shortening the series. Maybe less games, but you can't expect basketball to be played every single day.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you kind of can.
At least every other day is reasonable. I mean, it's especially once the other teams are done and waiting around. I'd cut out those. If you're not traveling, cut out those days, those extra days. Well, and really, by the time, because it's 2-2, 1-1-1, by the time one team has a sweep, it should just be game, travel day, game, travel day, game. There should never be more than a day between games.
And I think you could have more flexibility in the schedule because some of these series are over. So you can move things up for TV, but they don't. They do it as if every series is going to go seven, which isn't really the case.
Yeah, they have their schedule set before the entire playoffs start. And then once you have your schedule set, they won't move it.
They need to be more flexible. It's got to be like the NFL. Yeah. Like they've got to be able to move some things around. Like lock in the times and dates on the first four games. That's not hard.
And now
as the series unfolds,
that's what they used to do.
That's what you need to do.
Yeah, but they're not going to go back.
Spurs Rockets every other day.
Good. Well, it's funny. Now that the first round's over, they start to spread it out, or they start to tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, Game 7 is in, if there's a Game 7 of the series, it's Sunday, May 14th. So 13 days apart is the series, the length of the series.
If it's a 7-game series, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
But this first round is absurd.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We come back, we'll dive into the Rockets a little bit and a lot more. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. The blood in my veins, oh, ooh.
But they never did, ever lived, ever lived, flowing, inhibited. This is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.